Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do.
What, like 5 in the morning?
Yep.
Yeah.
Busting me out?
Nah, that was the dude in that boat. Were you the one that came through the middle of the bridge? Was that you?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I was here, but that you ran in front of the other dude over there.
You were busting me out,
dude. Bro, you ran right through the middle of the bridge while we were all fishing.
In the middle of the night, the guy didn't have any lights on.
Bro, we were all fishing here. The
didn't have any lights on.
All right, bro, I'm not going to do this with you, bro.
So, if you have not been on the internet in the last couple of days, you may not be aware of the exploits of one Brock Horner, the world's best fishing charter boat captain. oh, man. This was in, what, Navarre? I believe is where this took place, okay? And all I can tell you is I am not a part of the fishing culture per se. I'm an observer. I like to fish very, very recreationally once in a while. But I can tell you from the encounters that I have had with the fishing culture that they take it seriously. I don't say that as a criticism. I say this is life, livelihood. This is very important. And so everything from boating safety, boating protocol, courtesy, fishing courtesy, there's a lot to it. And if you do it wrong, it's liable to escalate a lot. And just kind of have to know that going in. So best as I could figure out from the video, what was going on is that the night before, there had been a group of people fishing underneath the bridge. And it's dark, and at night you're supposed to have your lights on. And then, apparently, again, discerning best I can from the video, that let's just say I had to censor heavily. This person came through the group of boats that were stationary and fishing and getting along and having a good time and doing what they do in, you know, the night hours. And apparently was inconsiderate in the way they rushed through, you know, just going too fast, going through the middle of people, not actually having any kind of a collision, but being very rude at least and running the risk of running into a boat or two in the process. And in the process, got scolded with some emphasis by some of the people who were there. At least one person who was there, maybe more than one, I don't know. And there was some, you know, fact disagreement over whether one of the boats did or did not have his lights on. But neither the alleged boat that did not have his lights on, nor the boatsman who did the profanity response to the person who drove through, were this kid. It was not him. But now, the next day, he's out fishing the same spot, and again, the dude who drove through is now incensed because he's discovered this kid, and he's going to, you know, he's going to dispense a little, you know, rough justice to this kid for cursing him out, yelling at him, not having his lights on because he doesn't know who it was, but he thinks it was this kid. Okay, so I think that's kind of the rough. David, you've been following this story. Do you think I have my facts right? Basically what I think happened in the background here?
Yeah, basically.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So Boatsman One, the kid, has got his camera going because I don't know why, but he does. Boatsman Two is on a boat with about three other people, and he's kind of at a distance of maybe 20 or 30 feet at this point, and they're yelling at each other, okay? Act Two.
I'm not going to do this with you, bro. Like, it's not the right time, bro.
You know the law?
Bro. Bro, you can't come flying through the middle of the bridge, bro.
Yes, I can.
All right, bro. All right, bro. What are you trying to do, bro?
What
are you trying to do, bro?
You want to go?
I don't want to go. I want you to get the out of here.
Big tough guy?
Tough guy? You pulled up on me, mother.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
What you do about it?
Nah, I'm fishing, you. Like, bro, get out of here. Like, what? What are you trying to do? Act like a tough guy in front of your buddies?
No, I'm not. Dude, all these motherfuckers know I'm tough,
motherfucker. Bro, all right, bro.
So Act Two ends with our concerned citizens at some distance with each other, but engage in what I would describe as, aggressive foreplay, perhaps. And one kid's on his own.
Where did you come up with that?
Aggression foreplay. I don't know what you want to call it. So they're chirping pretty good. It's an R-rated movie at this point for, language, not the other. Anyway, so, and you don't know where it's going to go, but you can't stop watching.
You know what?
Get going, bro.
War veterans. We're all Rangers.
Well, thank you for your service, bro.
And you're going to talk.
Thank you for your service, bro. But that doesn't give you the right. All right, bro. All right, whatever. I appreciate you for your service, bro. But you don't got to run through the middle of the bridge, bro.
Dude, if your guy doesn't have his light.
That's not my guy, bro. That's just another dude, bro.
You have to have lights on.
My lights were on, bro. My lights were on.
Somebody hits you, guess what the f*** happens? You die, nothing happens to me.
Right, okay, bro, keep thinking that.
No, that's the f***ing truth, dude.
All right, bro, keep thinking that.
Still, Act Three ends with our, partners, chirping. So far, it's just chest thumping and yelling and a lot of bro and profanity, what you might call brofanity. And I love watching your reaction, David. You kind of like that phrase, don't you, brofanity?
Yeah, no, that's good. I like right. that. I'm going to add that into the into the brocabulary.
There you go. That's right. Now you're thinking about it. And so again, guy one, a young, 20-something, young 20-something, is out fishing, just kind of minding his own business. Bro two, let's say, with the other guys in the boat, claiming to be a war veteran, claiming to be a ranger, claiming to be the toughest bleepity bleep that anybody knows anywhere. So, okay, all right. And then we get into Act Four, and Act Four is the one that that made this movie famous. Had it only been Acts 1 through 3, that's just fishing, bro. But Act 4, things get a little bit different as the second boat comes close, pulls up alongside, and you have what can only be described as an uninvited boarding. Yeah, Buccaneer style. You going to jump on there and teach this kid a lesson?
Put your lights on.
Bro, my lights were on. I wasn't sitting there. Okay, that's not my dude, bro. Bro, I said, bro, you almost hit him. The other dude was cussing you out.
I almost hit him because he didn't have his mother lights on.
Bro, you shouldn't come flying through the middle of the bridge. You know people fish here, bro. I'm sorry, man. I don't know if that's what you want to hear, bro.
Yeah, you should apologize, mother.
But, bro.
You're on the water more than you can possibly fathom in your wife.
Me.
Mother.
Me too, bro. I'm out here all the time, bro.
I'm 300 days a year on the motherfucking water.
All right,
every
bro.
Every day, I'm the best charter captain you'll ever meet in your motherfucking life.
All right, bro.
And you cuss me out.
Chill, bro. Chill, bro. Please, bro.
Don't hit the
please, okay, please, bro.
No,
please,
let's
bro.
pause the action for just a second to describe. After bragging about being on the water for 300 bleepity bleep days a year and being the best bleepity bleep charter captain in the bleepity bleep wherever the bleepity bleep is, Guy 2 has now jumped onto the kid's boat. And the kid is freaking out. And the kid hits the throttle and takes off. Unfortunately, the buccaneer has managed to secure his footing and is not dispelled from the boat. So he's on the boat that the kid is driving away, and now what? Thank goodness the video continues.
Please, bro! Bro, I'm a kid, bro, please!
Apologize!
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry, bro.
You're gonna cuss me the f-
All right, bro.
In the middle of the
f- No, bro, please, bro! Please, bro!
Take me back to my boat.
Okay, please!
You apologize!
I'm sorry, bro. That was not me, bro.
Yes, it was, bro!
I was here, but my buddy was
Take
on the
me
boat.
Back to my
Sir, I'm a kid, bro. Please, bro.
I don't care. You don't cuss me
yes,
the out.
All right.
To me, motherfucker.
Yes, sir.
You don't do it.
So here's where the tide of public opinion has now pretty heavily invested against the world's greatest charter boat captain. Self-described. Because chirping on the water, pretty common. Cussing people out. I mean, not great, but also not all that uncommon. But when you and your buddies pull up alongside the other boat and then you get out and you go on there looking like you're going to teach them a lesson with your fists or worse, because who knows what people might have on them, and you're now physically threatening, you've now basically trespassed, there's some criminal or neo-criminal activity going on, and you got this one kid who's basically scared out of his wits, which he, by the way, so far has, also chirped back, kept his cool, but also, engaged in the back and forth, sworn, used bro a lot. And he's, said appreciates his service. He's apologized or tried to apologize. And now he's just trying to dislodge the boarder from his boat and not get, beaten up or killed, any of which is theoretically possible given the unstable behavior of man number two. So he's telling him, take me back to his boat.
I'm sorry, man. I wasn't, cussing you out,
yes,
though, bro.
Yes, you were, dude.
I was driving the boat. Okay.
Did you not call me a f***?
No, bro.
Yes,
that
you
was,
did,
that
mother-
was friend on the... Okay, I'm
okay.
Sorry, bro.
That was your friend on the boat.
I'm sorry, bro.
Your friend are looking at it and come
yes,
on
sir.
Your and f*** you both up.
Yes, sir.
Do it again and watch what f*** happens.
Hey, get back on this boat.
Okay, so that's the first time we hear from his friends in the other boat, who to this point have been silent observers. You might say the point of having friends is for them to tell you when you're about to do something stupid and stop you from it. They did not, and maybe they didn't think about it. Maybe they didn't realize. I don't know what happened. But they're like, get back in this boat, because they realize he has definitely gone onto the wrong side of the behavior now. He gets over in the other boat.
Do it again.
Yes, sir.
He's still chirping.
I'm sorry, bro. Like, I appreciate y'all, bro. For, like, I'm sorry, bro.
The wrong mother-
bro, yes, sir.
And he doesn't even defend himself that time. He does, yes, sir. What do you do in this situation? So that's what happened. And then how did the internet take this? Well, have you ever, I don't know what your level of exposure to an idea might be, but if you ever been driving down the road and you see a window hang or a bumper sticker, it might have a picture of Florida on it. It might have a picture of a gun on it. It might have a picture of, a whole bunch of different things. And then it might also have the acronym FAFO. I'm looking at my two people in the studio, and I'm wondering if maybe not everybody knows what this acronym means, but it's, let's say it's mess around and find out, but it's not mess. Okay? You follow me? That's what this is, because the internet has now investigated this alleged best charter boat captain in the world, pushed his face all over every known corner of social media, along with alleged histories of his illegal or violent behavior in the past in other places, shut down his business, shut down the webpage, anybody affiliated with him, any sponsors of him in the past, anybody who was on the other boat, has some of them have even come forward and said, I'm sorry, I should have done something. Please don't include me in his behavior. I'm sorry that I let this happen. Like, Mama Bear response to protecting this kid from this other guy. So if you see, marked safe from a charter company or marked safe from Brock, that's what this is talking about. And all I can tell you is I had not seen the video, and I had seen all the commentary all of a sudden. I thought, what is it? And then I saw the video and thought, oh, that's this. That's what this is all about. So pretty traumatic for the kid. Could have been a whole lot worse. Could have been a whole lot better. And generally speaking, be nicer and control your friends and maybe less drinking on the boat, maybe. I don't know, you know. Oh, and also there's claims that the service record may have been exaggerated, may have been so exaggerated that constitutes stolen valor. So, you know, I'm not taking a position on any of the facts. I haven't done my own independent research. I'm just telling you what the internet is saying and trying to stay out of the name and blame game, except to give you context for what's going on in the world of social media. David, you were familiar with this.
Yeah, I saw the video. Have I told the story
in its rough, accurate context?
Yeah, no, it's okay. It was a good story. I enjoyed it.
It was good, bro. Okay, so the sheriff's office has said they're investigating. You don't need to continue notifying them. He's not from here, apparently. He's from another county elsewhere in Florida. Pasco, if I remember correctly, but it doesn't particularly matter. It's just not from here. And so you, you don't need to forward the video to the sheriff's department. They are... they're aware of the video with its 7 million views and 20 to 40,000 comments or shares, depending on what time you look at the social media post. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, bro.
Got a bug problem? Or worse, a rodent situation? Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's ENSEC.net.
Hey, fellow Gen Xers, it's Elizabeth Banks. Big news! The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the charge. After all, we gave the world the internet. We're trailblazers. Let's lead the way again, because we are at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Head to VaxAssist.com and schedule today. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Baby, you are so money and you don't even know it.
Good morning, 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump talking to reporters about the tariffs yesterday. He was aboard Air Force One. He says the tariffs are having the desired effect, and he's now open to negotiations. He said that his initial tariff plan is over. He's watching everything settle in. And every country now, he says, has called asking to cut a trade deal. Seven people are injured after a mass stabbing in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Police say the attacker stabbed people at random in a residential neighborhood. All of the victims were taken to the hospital, and the suspect is in custody. And Ford apparently is extending employee discounts to customers as the tariffs go into effect, trying to find a way to combat them. The Trump administration is imposing the 25% tariff on imported vehicles. Ford's campaign is expected to run through June.
All right. Thanks so much, bro. It's 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. It was under the Barron Collier Bridge, by the way, in Punta Gorda is where this took place. I don't know why I had been thinking that it was in Navarre, but, you know, a lot of people had misunderstood where it was at anyway. So Punta Gorda is where bro incident with the profanity and the uncomplicated vocabulary took place.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Liberation Day tariffs sent the stock market tumbling.
President Trump's tariffs sent a shockwave through Wall Street and around the world, with the U.S. stock market losing more than $3 trillion in value yesterday. But the president says this is a great negotiation tactic, and he expects the markets to bounce back better than ever.
That's Fox's Brooke Sigmund. At least seven people are dead across three states after dozens of tornadoes ripped through the heartland. Fox Weather's Robert Ray is in Lake City, Arkansas.
Literally 18-wheelers on their sides, combines torn up by the twister. The National Weather Service has been out looking at the damage. Preliminary rating EF3, that's 150-mile-an-hour winds.
50 million people from Arkansas to Indiana are at risk for life-threatening, once-in-a-generation flooding today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Cloudy right now, 73 degrees in Pensacola. A second person has now been sentenced for the 2021 murder of James Johnson on North Loop Road back in 2021. 42-year-old Carlos Antione Holloway. He was found guilty on a first-degree premeditated murder charge and sentenced to life in prison on Wednesday. Investigators say Johnson's body was found in a still-running vehicle with two gunshot wounds to the head. Another man, DeWitt Eccles, was sentenced to life back in March. Well, a suspect in a recent shots fired incident in Pensacola had some unusual requests for police officers. PPD spokesman Mike Wood says officers were responding to a shot spotter alert when they found a vehicle with its tire shot out. They were interviewing a potential suspect when
she asked them if she could finish her beer that was sitting close, and they told her she couldn't do that. And then she asked them if she could smoke a marijuana cigarette that was within arm's reach as well, and they denied that also. So, I think that obviously her decision-making was poor that day. She was probably on one or more substances when it happened.
Police say the woman shot the tire out after having a dispute with people inside of the vehicle. Officers ended up finding the gun in a freezer in her home. Well, Colorado State University experts are out with their annual hurricane season predictions, and if they're right, I mean, we better get ready for another above normal Atlantic hurricane season.
A total of 17 named storms. Of those 17, 9 becoming hurricanes. Of those 9, 4 becoming major category 3, 4, 5 hurricanes.
That is Dr. Phil Klausbach from Colorado State University. Now, the average would be 14, 7, and 3. Last year, there were 18 of those named storms. 11 were hurricanes, and 5 of them were major storms. Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton all made landfall in Florida. Klausbach believes this year may be a bit less active than last year because while warmer than normal, the tropical Atlantic isn't as warm as it was last year. But he says we also likely won't see El Nino conditions, which generally lead to fewer hurricanes. The South Florida condo market might be headed for a doom loop. That's according to analyst Peter Zaleski. He runs the website condovultures.com. He says condo owners are dealing with rising maintenance fees and special assessments. He also says more condos are going up for sale, and that's going to drop prices down even more. Well, St. Petersburg is planning to pay to fix the roof at Tropicana Field. Their city council voted yesterday to spend over $22 million to repair the damage caused by Hurricane Milton last year. There was some opposition to committing that money, but their council members say the city's contract with the Tampa Bay Rays leaves them no choice. The work should start in a couple of months. A Florida couple could get the death penalty for a child's death. State Attorney Bill Gladson said yesterday he's planning on pursuing the death penalty in the case against Tavares's Kimberly Mills and Andre Walker. Mills and her boyfriend are charged with first-degree felony murder and aggravated child abuse. They allegedly tortured Mills' 10-year-old son, which led to his death last month. 5:35 at News Radio. And right now, looking at our forecast, it is cloudy. We've got 73 degrees around the area. And our next news is at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump announcing his new sweeping tariff plan sent stocks tumbling on Wall Street, with the Dow dropping 4%, the S&P 500 dropping 4.8%, and the NASDAQ tumbling 6%. President Trump's tariff plan consists of a 10% baseline duty worldwide, as well as other nation-select levies. The UN Trade and Development Agency said artificial intelligence is projected to reach $4.8 trillion in market value by 2033, roughly equating to the size of Germany's economy. However, the agency also raised concerns that AI could affect 40% of jobs worldwide and worsen inequality between nations. Subway and Doritos have teamed up to release a new footlong treat, the Doritos Footlong Nachos. The dish consists of Doritos nacho cheese-flavored chips, cheese, jalapeno slices, diced tomatoes, diced red onions, and Baja Chipotle sauce. The Doritos Nachos will be available for $5 nationwide while supplies last. Futures are moderately lower. That's your money now.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow, but okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee-owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Fort Cancer event benefiting the American Cancer Society at Saposi Event Center is Friday evening. Enjoy the food, cocktails, live entertainment, and exciting auctions. See ForkCancerPensacola.org for event details. The 15th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday, benefiting the Escambia County Public Schools Foundation in downtown Pensacola. Please see visitpensacola.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:38 to News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's Friday. Woohoo! You still got a full day of work ahead, but it's okay. It's still Friday. You're almost there. almost there. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I think there's only kind of one incident that we need to talk about, and that is a shot spotter alert that led to you guys finding and arresting somebody for shooting at a vehicle or something like this. What happened here?
Yeah, there was a disturbance, and a female took a gun and shot the tire of the vehicle that was there on site, and it set off shot spotter. Officers arrived and found a shell casing in the roadway, and during the investigation, found out who was responsible for that. They were able to recover the weapon from inside the home that was stuffed in a freezer. So, we're glad that nobody was hurt on that situation. But, a funny thing about this individual, while they were questioning her, she asked them if she could finish her beer that was sitting close, and they told her she couldn't do that. And then she asked them if she could smoke a marijuana cigarette that was within arm's reach as well, and they denied that also. So, I think that obviously her decision making was poor that day. She was probably on one or more substances when it happened.
So she hid it in the freezer.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. And do we know why she shot the tire out?
That she was involved in a disturbance with people that were in the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
We're just obviously glad that she didn't shoot at anybody in the car.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Strange case, strange requests while you're talking to the cops, but also quick action by law enforcement prevented it from becoming a cold case.
Yeah, that's true. And once again, shot spotter.
No, you're not going to laugh, not even a little bit, at the freezer gun?
No, I got it. I just had to walk around it real quick.
I appreciate you, brother. All right, let's... We got gradually even more serious things to talk about, so I apologize for joking. You know I do, though. I every once in a while, I have heard cops sometimes tell jokes, too, but it's rumor. We had a horrible story come out of Pensacola last year where we had this case of somebody had made basically pornography of a minor with AI, and then that got distributed to people by, as I recall, the person's girlfriend or something at the time. That person wound up getting charged. The originator, the manufacturer, so to speak, could not be charged under the current law. But that law is being revised in Tallahassee. And you PPD has been, you've been talked about this a lot, but, that's a law that's coming in direct response to a PPD case, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously a loophole in the law. If it's illegal to distribute these photos, it probably should be illegal to make them in the first place. And, that's the loophole. So hopefully if this legislation goes through, then that will be taken care of, and we will have the teeth that we need to prosecute these cases.
You know, there was also a and we'll wait obviously to see that come all the way through, but certainly, I mean, it's crazy to me that that's an existing loophole in the law. Supreme Court recently ruled on the matter of ghost guns, ghost gun parts, essentially saying that yes, it is okay to have prohibitions on some of these things. Ultimately, the goal being to have serial numbers on the primary parts of a gun. But I was curious because I'm always wondering about the significance of these things. Gun control advocates want to act as though so-called ghost guns or manufactured guns or whatever are a huge problem. Other folks want to say that there's not much. I just don't know. From your perspective in the PPD, how common is it to encounter guns that were either manufactured or made without serial numbers? I don't mean the ones where people scratch them off. That's a whole different issue. But is that a common thing, uncommon thing?
It happens, but it's not very common.
Okay.
What we see more is defaced firearms.
Sure. Which is the sort of the old-fashioned way to do it is you have the gun and then you scratch off the VIN number, so to speak, or the serial number, so to speak. Okay. I was just curious because I didn't know the significance of it. I hate to have to talk about this with you, but I know you guys hate to have to think about these things. We had a deputy in Walton County yesterday killed in a just bizarre, horrible, very ordinary kind of incident. I will talk with you about that in just a second. I know your department and your folks have been talking about this a lot internally because that's what you do. Mike, when a close enough partner agency like the Walton County Sheriff's Office loses a deputy, especially in a case like this, I have to assume that it affects everybody in your agency.
Yeah, it does. Our hearts are heavy this morning. Our thoughts are certainly with Deputy William May and his family and the men and women of the Walton County Sheriff's Office. This is a tragedy. And, you know, it happens a lot. And you just never know on these situations where something minor, you're there for a minor reason. And I believe this was a trespassing call. You never know what could happen. And it was just a couple of summers ago when we had a Pensacola police officer investigating a very minor hit and run crash. It was a traffic officer, approached this individual and, was going to ask him about his side of the story, and it turned tragic. And the officer had to protect his weapon during a fight that ensued and ended up shooting this individual. So, all he was going to get was maybe a traffic ticket or a notice to appear. That's it. And the officer would have turned around and left.
And of course, that's what Sheriff Adkinson said about this case. It wasn't an arrest. It wasn't, you know, there was no priors as far as I know, or anything like that. And just, you know, talk to him for 10 or 15 seconds. They're walking out the store. They get outside the store and he decides to pull a gun out and shoot the deputy. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I, you know, of course, I've been talking about all morning how common this is, how, you know, level of escalation, level of force, you know, trespassing someone who's cooperative doesn't normally involve frisking them or handcuffing them, right? I mean, just this is a very, you're never trying to overuse force because you can cause a problem just by the way you respond, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've been accused before of being overly aggressive and there's too many officers on the scene and why did three officers come on this traffic stop for me running a stop sign? It's because we're trying to be careful. We're always going to have an individual maybe walk outside the store in front of us. We're not going to let them walk behind us. We are trained to do things like that to keep an eye on them no matter what the situation is. Even when we're taking a theft report, you just never know when things can go bad. So we don't mean to be overly aggressive, but that's just the way we are trained. We've got to keep our eyes on everybody and hopefully try to prevent things like this. But the truth of the matter is things like this are going to happen. It's part of being in law enforcement. It's a risk that you're willing to take every day, every time you put the uniform on.
And, of course, that's why I'm so appreciative of what you guys do, you know, what all law enforcement agents do for us. Of course, you know, the military, same. I mean, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, anyway, it's just – It's a absolutely baffling, frustrating, infuriating tragedy that a relatively young dad and husband is gone for no good reason, and we don't even know. You know, maybe he stopped a mass shooting. Maybe we don't know. Maybe that's why was this guy there in the first place. We don't know. I did want to ask you. You know, we always like to end on a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with this subject. You know, you see on television all the time when the officer wears a bulletproof vest, he'll take 6 or 8 rounds to the chest and just get up and brush off and smile and everything's fine. And that's just not true. In fact, over the past 10 years, 28% of officers killed while wearing body armor were killed by rounds hitting unprotected areas of the torso. The body armor protects a lot, but it's not completely foolproof. There are gaps. There have been situations where a round might strike the trauma plate, and depending on the angle that it's fired, it could go up and hit the officer in the throat or the chin area. So the vests are they do their job most of the time, but there are some times when the caliber of the bullet is too much for the vest or a round is able to get in an unprotected place. So, you know, even if it does hit the vest and it does stop it, it's equivalent. The best way I can put it is if you were to take a baseball bat and swing it as hard as you can and hit a person in the chest with that bat, in the vest with that bat, that's what it feels like. You're going to have some broken ribs. There's going to be some damage, but you're certainly not going to get up and brush it off and smile and walk away like you see on television.
So the getting knocked down, getting heavily bruised, getting concussed basically in your body, I mean, those are all very common byproducts of getting shot in a vest. And, you know, just suddenly, oh, look, everything's fine. That's very unrealistic. And as you say, it's got, you know, there are ways, I mean, the thing doesn't protect everywhere. And, you know, especially if, you know, somebody was falling or at an angle or through the armhole or something like that, you know, terrible things can still happen, as you said, right?
Absolutely. There's just unprotected parts of the body. The officer's head is one of those parts. And, right. You know, we've seen officers sitting in vehicles, just sitting at a stoplight being shot. So, you know, we do the best we can with what we've got. We're very glad that we have the protective armor. It gets better and better every year. But there's sometimes, unfortunately, things like this are going to happen.
Yeah, very, very unfortunately. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for your folks keeping us safe. Thanks for keeping us informed, and we'll talk to you again next week. And please, I know you do, and I know this community is incredibly supportive of law enforcement, but you know, every chance you get, please, you know, convey our appreciation to your folks, because, you know, we do. I mean, we really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Just pray for Walton County.
Amen. 5:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And I don't know whether you saw, but there was an honor walk yesterday from the hospital with the body, and there was a procession, a long procession of police vehicles taking him back home. So that's, we do, in fact, honor service, care deeply about it. We're touched painfully anytime something like this happens, because we understand the risk they put themselves in on our behalf. 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3. If you are thinking about a home or a change in ownership or acquiring something, you know, maybe you want to buy a beach house, maybe you want to buy a vacation rental, maybe you want to buy a regular rental, or, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, somebody's maybe like mom and dad are moving here and you're thinking about them getting a home and living near you and the family. I don't know what it is, but don't ask me for the advice. Ask Christina Leavenworth for the advice. And in fact, not just like the advice on how to get done what you've already decided to do, but ask her before you've made a decision. You know, say, call her up and just, because she loves talking to people and answering questions, just call her up and ask, you know, hey, Andrew says that you like taking calls. I do. I've got a question. Cool. What is it? You know, like, it'll go like that. And then you can ask her, well, is now a good time to buy a rental home? Well, how much are you willing to spend? What kind of rental property is it? Are you short-term or long-term? You know, here's what the rental market is doing. Here's why it's struggling a little bit, because of interest rates that people aren't willing to sell their homes because they're going to have to refinance at a higher rate. Like, all of that kind of stuff, she will be able to explain to you and help you and make a good decision instead of coming to her after you've made one to implement it. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry of Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
There is violence in Chicago, of course, but not by me and not by anybody I employ, and I'll tell you why, because it's not good business.
Good morning, 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Severe flooding ongoing as that storm system drops significant rainfall throughout the central U.S. 10 people, they say, have now died as a result of the storms and the tornadoes that broke out since Wednesday. That includes 5 fatalities in Tennessee And there's currently some ongoing flooding issues in Arkansas, Kentucky, and Illinois. A Venezuelan man is going to be allowed by immigration officials to give his brother a kidney. Jose Gregorio Gonzalez apparently had been in custody of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement for about a month now. He was detained after accompanying his brother to a kidney dialysis appointment. The NCAA Final Four tips off this weekend. All 4-1 seeds on the men's side will be in the national semifinals for the first time since 2008. When the group of Auburn, Duke, Florida, and Houston hit the hardwood Saturday in San Antonio, Auburn battles Florida.
War Eagle.
where's the other one? I didn't write this particular story.
All right. Just,
the wording is a little off for me.
I was at the store yesterday, and this guy, I was wearing a bright orange Auburn shirt. John can confirm.
Yes, okay. I can.
And this guy, you know, just said, hey, you know, Auburn. And he was taking his visor off, which was orange also. He's taller than I am, so I couldn't really see.
Right.
And I just figured he's, you know, like, ah, War Eagle, hey, man. And he showed it to me and it had a gator on it.
I thought, yeah.
Oh, this has not gone the way I expected this to go.
The old fake out.
Yeah, but he was a sweet guy. He was really nice, you know. You know, just like looking forward to the game, like, yeah, it's going to be a good game. He's like, I know it's going to be a good game. You know, it's going to be tight. I'm like, I know. So, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There's a lot of stuff about the tariffs, which, by the way, I understand the stock market, you know, took out a lot of value yesterday. It's still above 40,000, though, right? Okay. Anyway, just checking. And also, what was the thing that I saw in a comment I saw on social media was, your stocks took a dive yesterday. Is that right? What I would like to be able to do is just own a home, you know, because like kind of the boomer perspective versus the Gen Z perspective, you know. Anyway, but, you know, what will it do long term? Is this an overreaction of the news? Time will tell, okay, but you should never be making decisions about your stock market stuff day to day. You know, right? That's the old advice. Just stay in the long term. And long term, it's way, way up. Okay. Interesting note, though, on the tariffs is certain countries were excluded from getting any reciprocity on the tariffs. And the countries are places like Russia and North Korea. And you might think, well, wait, I thought they were the bad people. Like, why would we not have them? Cuba, Belarus, also on the list of not receiving tariffs under President Trump's new plan. What do you think is the reason, though? Because he likes Putin? You know, is that it? Because he's sympathetic to dictators? You know, Kim Jong-un is a fan? No, because they're already under extreme sanctions and, you know, trade is precluded. And, you know, if you put tariffs on a country that you're supposed to have no trading with to begin with, it's kind of a weird thing. So, you know, there's kind of as strong of a barrier against them as you could possibly have already. And even Trump said he's recently threatened to impose stronger sanctions on Russia. So that's the why. You know, sometimes people, you know, look into something halfway. Also, there is a whole formula. And I listened to the speech that he gave rolling this out. Very interesting speech, by the way. And I don't have the clips to play for you today. I just had other stuff I had to be working on yesterday. But it looks like, even though what he was saying is that the tariffs are half of whatever they impose on us, it looks like that's not actually accurate. It looks like, and I don't mean because they're fudging the numbers. I mean that they've released a formula, apparently, that describes how they arrived at how much to tariff somebody. And the formula works out to, we put a tariff on a product coming from a country to a percentage that when it filters through to the price of the product, because tariffs will make prices go up, but not completely. Like if you put a 10% tariff on, the theory is they'll raise their price by 2.5%, roughly something like that. That when you raise if you put the tariff on, they will raise the price, and that because the price will then cause consumers to buy less of it at a certain predictable ratio, what we're doing is we're generating enough price increase to discourage consumption to the point that we can rectify the trade imbalance with that country because people will buy domestic as opposed to buying import. I know that's a little complicated, but you'd sort of follow the idea there. It's not just to create parity. it's not just to retaliate, because the half is not parody anyway. As he said, it was loving and kind to do less than he could. But the theory, as I understand it, is more complicated than that, that he's really trying to change the trade barrier, the trade deficit problem. And so if you can raise the price on imported goods, people will buy fewer of them and buy more domestically, which will undo the trade imbalance. Now, it's not a, it doesn't work that way exactly one for one, because some areas, countries sell us things that are uniquely desirable by us, and we don't, you know, like if you buy champagne from France, you don't necessarily sell champagne to France, you know, like it doesn't, but that's his theory, okay, at least as I understand it. So a little bit more complicated than just the, you know, half of what we could have applied to them.